From St. Mary's University of Minnesota, you're listening to St. Mary's Currents. I'm your host, Ben Rogers. Over the course of the last 3 months, research done by Michelle Weiser, the Dean of the School of Business and Technology here at St. Mary's, has been making headlines in the national and international press. The findings, which reveal inequities in the academic experience and career outcomes of female and minority MBA students and graduates of top-tier business schools, can be found in the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times, and Bloomberg. Today, Michelle joins me in the studio for an in-depth discussion on the research and how it can be used to address issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion in business schools and the greater business world. Michelle, thank you so much for being willing to come on to the podcast and discuss your recent research with us. First, could you introduce yourself and speak about what you do here at St. Mary's?
Sure. Thanks, Ben. I am Michelle Weiser. I'm the Dean of the School of Business and Technology here at St. Mary's. I have been here in this role a little over 2 years. And in my job, I oversee all of our programs and majors related to business and technology in Winona, Rochester, and the Twin Cities.
All right. So along with serving as Dean of the School of Business and Technology, you've spent a lot of your professional time researching gender and race in business education. What was it exactly that drew you to that area of research?
You know, it's interesting. I often ask myself that because I am so passionate about this now. And when I pause and think, where did this really come from? I think it's always been innate in me. I am a woman MBA graduate myself. And at the time that I got interested in kind of this line of research, I was at the University of Minnesota making my way through my PhD in organizational leadership, policy, and development with an emphasis on higher education. And I was trying to figure out what type of research could I do that would obviously have a big impact on the academic world, but something that could also make a big contribution to how MBA programs really across the globe work with students, educate students, prepare them for future careers, and also how can businesses, how can corporate America do a better job of ensuring gender equality in MBA graduates? So it kind of sparked from there.
All right. So your most recent research looks at inequities in academic experience and career outcomes of female and minority MBA students and graduates of top-tier business schools. I understand you did similar research in 2016 with the Forte Foundation. Can you explain a little bit about what that research was and what you found?
Forte is an organization that is all about women, supporting women, encouraging women through business school into their careers and beyond. So it started in 2000 out of a report that was done by Catalyst and the University of Michigan talking about discrepancies between men and women MBA graduates. And Forte was born out of that in large part to help address that and to encourage more women to pursue an MBA and to advocate for themselves and attain career success.
Absolutely.
So the research that I first did in 2016 was part of my dissertation research, and I set out really to look exclusively at alumni of MBA programs and career outcomes. One of the things that I felt was really important to address in that was not just typical measures of career success, like your salary, your job title, how many people report to you, the things that are very obvious, the extrinsic measures of success, and also look at the intrinsic measures of success. So the more personal factors, how successful do I believe that I have been in my career? How strong is my self-concept, for example? Do I have the confidence that I'm able to succeed? So set out to explore both of those in partnership with Forte and found what were some pretty large differences between men and women. Men had progressed further in their careers. They really had progressed much further in every measure that we looked at. And that's what kind of, you know, that served, I guess, as what I would consider, you know, my first big study, kind of baseline research.
What made you want to follow up with this round of research?
So this round of research was born out of a number of things. It had been at the time about 4 or 5 years, approaching 5 years since my original large study that looked at career outcomes. So it was a good time to revisit that. And also wanted to look at kind of a broader snapshot of what it's like to be an MBA student. Everything from the time you first consider applying to a top-tier MBA program through being a student, sitting in the classroom with your peers, learning from your instructors, experiencing different case studies and course materials, and then on to your post-MBA life and career. So really taking it and kind of blowing it up into a much larger study. So by way of comparison, my first study that I did in 2016 had around 900 participants, and this one had over 3,100. And that's largely because there were prospective students, current students, and alumni that were a part of this.
Absolutely. So in the introduction of the show, we discussed a few of the findings of your research. Would you be willing to kind of expand on that a bit and also speak about the methodology of your most recent research?
Sure. If it's okay, I'll start with the methodology. Because there's a little bit of a backstory there. I think if you would have asked me 10 years ago, would I ever be a person that does a quantitative study of any sort, I would have proclaimed a resounding no. Somehow, throughout my PhD experience, I fell in love with statistics and the power of what that analysis can do. Not surprising. I think in the world in general, now we're realizing what data analysis, big data, all of that can do for our businesses. So I fell in love with that track of research and realizing just how much information can be collected and how many different ways it can be analyzed. So simply by asking one additional demographic question, for example, you know, asking race instead of just gender opens up a whole different way of looking at outcomes. So that was the methodology. I followed a similar methodology for all of my research that I have done with Forte. And it's a process. It's all quantitative research done through a large survey, online survey. Participants are identified in a couple of different ways. Forte has a large database of students, past students, alumni, that we reach out to directly via email and ask for their participation. And then we do kind of an indirect way of reaching participants by partnering with MBA programs in the U.S. and Europe and Canada to ask them to distribute the survey to their alumni, current students, and some prospective students even as well.
Would you want to speak about some of the findings of your research, kind of maybe some of the bigger, broad mm-hmm. topics that were found?
Sure. I'll maybe hit on one or two findings from kind of each of the big areas of the study. The first one being the overall application and admissions process for MBA students. And going into this part of the research, what we were really looking to do is find out, do prospective students feel that the process is fair and equitable? Do they feel a sense of inclusivity throughout everything from filling out the application through completing the admissions interview, attending admissions and recruiting events at different business schools? And what we found is that overall, everybody did feel very positive about the experience. And what this tells me is that business schools are doing something right. The majority of MBAs have a highly favorable view of equity and inclusivity in the application process. Men were more likely to say so than women, but given the overall favorable nature of responses, I felt pretty good about that. When looking at the student experience, this is where some interesting insights surfaced. And one of those was around looking at diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts within business schools and the questions around that. And the big one was around, did what you experienced in business school around DEI meet your expectations? And the responses, you know, were all over the place. Either they met or they did not meet and were lower, or they were higher. My experience was higher than what I expected. And what we found out is that about one in five of the respondents felt that their experience of being an MBA student was not met in terms of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And when you dig down and break it out by gender and by race, about a third of minority women surveyed say that their MBA program's diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts did not meet expectations. So what that tells me is that there is room for improvement. The MBA experience includes everything that happens in the classroom as well as out of the classroom. So, you know, what can we do to ensure that students are learning from the right types of instructors and faculty members? What can we do to ensure that we have the right course materials? Case studies always surfaces as a big topic. You know, are we seeing people of color and people of different genders represented as protagonists in case studies, for example? And then on the co-curricular side, you know, what support networks, student organizations, all of that exist to help people feel more included and more part of the experience. So there's definitely some room for improvement, I think, in terms of diversity, equity, and inclusivity along the way of attaining an MBA. And then, you know, we get back to the piece of the research that is the one that, frankly, has been written about the most since this study came out, and that is about outcomes. You know, women earning less, women don't advance to the same level as men, they have fewer direct reports than men, especially true for minority women in terms of salary. Interestingly, one of the key findings when comparing this study versus the original study that I did in 2016 is that the pay gap narrowed considerably, was in fact kind of cut in half from, you know, around 40% to around 20% between men and women. However, the pay gap expands as time goes by. So what you tend to see is men and women being much closer together in their overall compensation in the year or two after they obtain the MBA. And then with each passing year, as you move along, the gap begins to widen pretty considerably.
We'll be right back in a minute.
Separate yourself from the rest and take your career to the next level with an online degree from St. Mary's University of Minnesota. Nationally ranked and fully accredited, our programs are student-centered with faculty that infuse practical career experience into their teaching and engage in their disciplines. Set your own schedule with our flexible online platform and access your coursework anywhere with our selection of affordable online degree programs. Promising career opportunities will follow. Explore what's next at St. Mary's University of Minnesota.
So part of your research shows that men continue to outpace women with MBAs in regards to compensation and other factors of success. Can you kind of speak to what might be causing that?
I think a big piece of it has to go with setting goals and aspirations. So one of the questions that I asked in this research was, you know, looking ahead 5 years from now, what is your ideal job title? What the research showed is that women, when compared to men, were looking to move, make a bigger leap in that 5 year period of time. But what they were actually trying to reach was roughly where men were currently. So that was very eye-opening, somewhat surprising. When asked about their ideal job title 5 years from now, women MBA alumni were shown to strive for what I termed early leadership categories. So roles such as senior director, vice president, definitely, you know, respectable senior level positions in an organization, but not the C-suite. So that's where we tended to see men striving for CEO or other C-level positions like, you know, chief operating officer or chief financial officer. So I'm sure that that drives much of the gap in compensation, but also the gaps that we saw with, you know, number of promotions, level of the organization, and other factors.
Absolutely. So when we spoke about your research for an article that I wrote earlier, you said research is important, but what we do with it is more important.
Yes.
How do you hope the research can be used by MBA programs as well as those in the greater business world to produce a better experience and outcomes for women and minority students and graduates?
That is a million-dollar question. I would say that, you know, there's some very tangible action items that business schools can take coming out of this. Schools can very deliberately and strategically audit their curriculum to see how inclusive it is. They can ensure that students, prospective students, as they make their way through the admissions process, feel included, that they're seeing other students like them, that they're hearing and seeing success stories. There's so much that companies can do to encourage women and people of color. It requires effort. It requires being deliberate. But without it, I don't think we're going to see these gaps shrink.
So as the dean of the School of Business and Technology here at St. Mary's, how do you hope to use the findings kind of in the MBA program here, as well as other undergraduate and graduate business programs that you oversee?
Yeah, I always find it interesting. So the research that I do looks at business schools that are very different than St. Mary's. So, you know, here at St. Mary's, we have a very large online program. And we have blended programs in Rochester and Minneapolis and a whole host of specialized master's, bachelor's completion. I think all kinds of programs can benefit from this type of research. I think one of the biggest things that we are starting to think through now is, first and foremost, working with our VP of Inclusion and Human Dignity, Leon Dixon, to explore a way to conduct an audit, probably starting with our online MBA program, of the inclusivity of our curriculum. So starting with kind of the more DEI elements and then following the same methodology to look at character and virtue, because that is so important and so central to our mission here. So how do we take a look at our curriculum through those lenses and identify improvements? So I think that'll be very exciting work. And then I think the challenge for us, given that so many of our students are online students, is how do we really bring this to life? How do we create an inclusive environment for students of all types? It doesn't just need to be diversity in terms of gender, race, and ethnicity, but all types of diversity. When you're not there in person, how do you make everyone feel included? So I'd like to do more research around that and engage in more dialogue and conversation with that as well. And I would love to do more focus groups or table talk discussions as time permits, you know, bringing people together and sharing findings and gathering reactions and asking, so what? What's next? You know, how do we take this and make it into something?
Well, Michelle, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
St. Mary's Currents is a production of the St. Mary's University of Minnesota Office of Marketing and Communication. It is produced by Ben Rogers and Deb Nergang. It is recorded, edited, and engineered by Jeffrey DeMarsh. Our theme music is written by Will Van de Kramer. I'm Ben Rogers. We'll see you next time for St. Mary's Currents.